Welcome back to On Alliance. Today, we're interviewing Deborah Drang, an administrator in an Orthodox Jewish school and an outspoken ally to all students, including Orthodox LGBT plus students. This edition of On Alliance is of particular interest to educators and parents. A quick note, Deborah refers to a Keshet UK meeting. Eshel hosted Keshet UK representatives who had worked with the Chief Rabbi of England to produce a guide for the well-being of LGBT plus students in Orthodox schools. Deborah was at one of those meetings that brought educators together to hear about the work that was being done. Our interview begins with Deborah describing how she became an ally.
I was brought to the Eshel Allies meeting by Penina Gershman, who is a very old and dear friend. So I was alongside her when her son Ezra came out and the whole process that she went through then. But I have an even broader kind of interest in this topic because I work in Jewish education. I work with children really K through 12 in the role that I play. I work with teachers a lot. I do a lot of teacher training. And I care very deeply about the emotional well-being of children. And I regularly find myself in rooms of middle school and high school students wondering who in that room might be struggling with their sexual identity. And I worry a lot about the kinds of messages that sometimes people don't even realize they're sending. My younger brother's best friend growing up, who spent a lot of time in our home growing up, who is someone I felt very connected to, came out as an adult. And I really saw a lot of the emotional anguish that he went through coming out within the Orthodox community. And then years later, with Penina's son Ezra, you know, I saw this kid go from this really happy, sweet, kind of well-adjusted younger child to all of a sudden having really a mental health crisis. And part of what really contributed to that was the attitudes of teachers in his Jewish day school and the kind of offhand comments they would make about LGBTQ people, disparaging comments, hurtful comments. And, you know, the old adage that words can hurt, you know, much harder, much more intensely than physical violence, even because you carry them with you forever. That's really what was happening to him. He was being really seriously impacted by the hurtful words that were being said by teachers. Oftentimes, these were teachers who were coming from a place where I just think they didn't have exposure, experience with LGBTQ people. They didn't know what to say or what not to say. And, you know, it was a joyful experience to watch Ezra emerge from that period of time in his life and go on to thrive in a pluralistic school and in college, and he could not be doing better than he is. Gives everybody who loves him a lot of nachas, but you know, his parents made the choice, the correct choice for him to remove him from that Orthodox environment. And I'm left there in a setting where teachers are still saying things that can be very hurtful. And so I don't know if I have a story of triumph as much as I have a story of continuous pushing and kind of prompting people to rethink what they said, to think more carefully about what they do and don't say. Teenagers really have a knack for trying to get teachers onto controversial topics. Oftentimes, teenagers will try to divert the teacher's attention from his or her lesson in order to bring up a topic that they think the teacher might say something, you know, provocative about. And so, you know, part of me wants teachers to have more tools to manage that kind of a situation. But more than that, I want people to really deeply understand the humanity involved in this and that the words that we use matter so much to an impressionable young student who may be sitting in that room grappling with their sexuality, and just an offhand comment from the teacher, class could move on 3 seconds later, and that comment is just sitting with that child and having a really profound impact on his or her mental health. I've heard of comments that teachers have made. Anytime I hear of a comment, I always set up a time to speak with the teacher. and to really process it with them. I come at it from the perspective of, you may not have realized this when you said that, but, you know, and kind of trying to explain the other point of view. I don't think anyone's going to listen to me if I kind of try to, if I make them feel demonized in any way. So I really try to come at it from, you probably didn't mean this, or I know you didn't mean this, but when you said whatever comments it may be, that really impacted someone in your classroom. And I think I always think about the kids who haven't yet come out and the ones who are in those rooms. You know, I literally find myself sometimes looking around a room of Orthodox teenagers wondering, okay, who in this room is LGBTQ and just hasn't come out yet? Like, just statistically, there have to be kids in this room. And I worry about those kids the most, because I think they are carrying around a lot of mental anguish that they're not really sharing with anybody. So unfortunately, I don't have, you know, like I said, a tale of triumph to share, just more, you know, what it feels like to be in an Orthodox environment day in, day out, where this is kind of an issue simmering just below the surface. People talk about it when it comes up, but people aren't running to talk about it. And, you know, there's a lot of offhand comments being made that can be very hurtful. And what can I as an ally do to do more than just react in the moment when someone makes a comment? Like, what can we do proactively to bring this topic up more often, and not to just bring it up when we have to, because it came up, you know, a kid came out or someone's parent came out, and then we have to talk about it. So, you know, I would love more guidance from LGBTQ people who are either in the Orthodox community or have been in the Orthodox community, to share their thoughts of, you know, how we can push the envelope a little bit and not just kind of wait to be reactive when things come up, but really be more proactive.
I wonder, being that you're in a school, I'd love to explore that with you, being that you're Orthodox and living mm-hmm. and working in an Orthodox context, do you think that there is an opening? You know, you might learn about reading differences, learning differences, personality differences, other mental health issues. Why couldn't there be a training about talking about gender or sexuality from that perspective? If you were to envision it, how would it look?
I think that there's a certain amount of fear around the conversation. So what I would very much like to see is just the openness to come to the conversation and center it around the mental health and well-being of children. I think, especially Judaic studies educators, which I am not a Judaic studies educator, I think especially Judaic studies educators immediately think when you bring up this topic that you're looking for Orthodoxy to become more, you know, quote unquote, permissive or whatever they're imagining is going to happen. And so it really, to have a productive and meaningful conversation that really results in change, I think people have to buy into the idea that this is about the mental health and well-being of our children. And just like we are concerned about children experiencing anxiety or depression or any other mental health symptoms for a whole host of reasons, this should be equally as important to us, and we can't kind of brush it under the rug. So I would want to understand how to just create this openness where people are willing to listen and hear and kind of not jump to conclusions that immediately this means that, you know, the people organizing it are pushing some sort of agenda to change Orthodoxy or whatever it may be. And I think that's really a barrier in trying to have conversations, is I think right away, the people on the faculty who are Judaic educators, who are more, are maybe more stringently observant, they react out of fear, and they think that there's an agenda to somehow change Orthodoxy as opposed to really making it about mental health. You know, one of the things I wonder about sometimes is I don't know that allies necessarily always know who the other allies are. I've been places where someone will make a very supportive comment about someone who's LGBTQ, and my response, my thought in my head is, oh, I don't know if I would have pegged that person as being an ally. That's cool, you know, and And one of the things like Panina and I have kind of spoken about is there are many, just statistically, there are more allies than people who are LGBTQ. And so can we somehow find out who the other allies are? Like, can there be an ally meeting within a community so that we can all be in one room and say, oh, wow, you know, all of these people are allies. And then can that there be some power in that number, in that group? You know, if I'm in a room with lots of other people who are allies and I can look around and see, oh, wow, all of these people would be interested in the educators in this community learning more about this. This is a powerful group of people to all go together and say to the administrators of schools in this area, this is something we have to do. So that's something that I really think about a lot. And I think the answer to your question is that there needs to be enough interest that this is seen as something that should be on the front burner. And how do we figure out who supports this and who wants to see this happen? I think if we can mobilize enough people in the community to say, yes, this is important, then I think that it can happen. And I also think we need to really help people come to it with openness. And that's a big hurdle to jump. One way to do that is through rabbis. Like, I think if there are rabbis in the community that if they said, this is important for the mental health and well-being of our children, that some of the teachers who would be reluctant otherwise would say, oh, okay, if Rabbi so-and-so is saying I should do this, then I should do it. So, you know, I think that rabbis hold a lot of power in terms of whether this discussion happens or not.
What do you think would be the way to approach a rabbi? Or like the rabbi leading your school or rabbis leading your school or in your community?
Right. I think it has to be private. I think they have to have time to process and to think about this. We took a first step last year when Keshet UK came, and I know that some of the rabbis spoke with the representatives of Keshet UK, and I thought they were great because they both were raised in the Orthodox community, the two representatives that came, and I thought that they really understood the sensitivities of the Orthodox community. So I think it's important that whatever appeal is made to the rabbis to consider supporting training teachers in sensitivity, I think that it needs to be done privately initially for the rabbis to really have time to think about how they want to respond, for them not to feel somehow cornered or that they're being publicly pressured. So I think privacy initially is going to be very important. And again, I wonder just about having a coalition of people from the community, of people who are influential people within the community. You know, I think that that could impact how the rabbis see this issue. So it isn't just one administrator from a school or one teacher, but it's really a coalition of people who are coming and saying, you know, we think this should be a priority within our community.
Mm-hmm. And you also spoke earlier about hurtful comments from teachers. And I know that kids pick up on that and kids say hurtful comments to each other. What do you think is the best way to help change that?
I would like teachers to really deeply understand the impact of that. I would like teachers to understand the statistics around depression and suicidal ideations among adolescents who are LGBTQ, especially ones who are closeted and especially ones who are trans, because that the statistics there are the most horrifying. And so I want them to really understand the impact of the things that they say and how this can really have a positive or detrimental impact on a child's mental health. So I want them to understand that the words that they use matter. And then I think they need language. Like, they need to know what they should be saying. You know, when they hear one student make a disparaging remark about LGBTQ people, how can they say something to that student in a way that is kind but clear that that kind of language is not okay? how can they speak about this topic in front of a group of students, and what should they say and what shouldn't they say? I think they need language, and I think they actually need to almost practice it. I you know, sometimes when we do teacher trainings, we do role play even, you know, of how you would manage a student's behavior or how you would manage a difficult conversation with a parent, you know, and one person will pose as the parent and one person, like I could almost imagine teachers, you know, someone playing the student trying to goad the teacher into saying something provocative, and how could the teacher manage that situation well. It could be the simplest disparaging comment, you know, not even disparaging directly to the child, but it could be something as, oh, you know, I identify as, you know, whatever, so I'm going to do this, you know, just making these kind of offhand comments can really, like you said, it goes right to the soul, you know, it really impacts kids on such a deep level, because you're basically saying that there's something wrong with who they are, you know, not something that they're doing, but like who they feel they are at their core. So yeah, I would want teachers to understand how powerful they are in the words that they use. And then I would want them to have other language that they could use.
What are some things that you remember from Keshe at UK that were take-home messages for you as an educator?
I think the takeaway for me is that we can separate the orthodox stance on homosexuality from the emotional well-being of our children, and that it's imperative that we do that. It's a moral imperative that we do that. So to me, that's where I want to see, on a personal level, I'd like to see the orthodox community come a lot farther than that. But I feel like realistically, where we can go next, I think, would be for all Jewish educators to understand that this is a moral imperative, that we're talking about the emotional well-being of children, and that teacher training, sensitivity training, is critical for everybody.
Being an ally is an act of courage. But my question is, what do you think would be a way to help those allies come out as allies?
That's a really good question. I go back to this idea of doing things quietly. Like, I almost feel like, could we get a core group of people in a room who are comfortable publicly saying, I'm an ally, and then each of those people kind of reach out one-on-one to somebody else who they think may be interested in joining the group. But I think it would take time. I think you're right. I think people are afraid. And I think that privately with a friend or family member, they might be very supportive. But beyond that, saying, I consider myself an ally to all members of the Orthodox community who are LGBTQ, I think that is a next step. So I think we'd have to start small.
A lot of people hear about this project and they say to me, like, what's the right thing to say?
I think about this a lot. I think, again, I would love to have more guidance from people within the LGBTQ community about this question and hear from them what they feel, you know, are helpful and supportive ways of responding. That said, I mean, to me, I think a lot of listening. You don't always have to have some great speech to give or some, you know, really inspiring thing to say. You can just really listen and say, even, I'm not sure what to say, but I'm here for you. I'm listening. And, you know, I hear the pain that you're in, and I hear the confusion that you have of what to do for your child or whatever it might be. And I'm here to listen. So I would say to people, you know, you don't always have to have something to say. You can be a really good listener. I think really trying to make sure that a friend has a network of support, be it a child who's come out or an adult who's come out, or be it a family member of that person. Again, I go back to this idea, like if a friend were going through anything that was causing them anguish or pain or confusion about how to react or what to do, you would want to make sure that that friend got the support that he or she needed. So I don't necessarily have to be the person who has the right thing to say, but I can say, you know, have you reached out to people who do know, you know, what kind of supports you need? And do you, you know, the support of an organization like Eshel or the support of a therapist for a child? Panina is an amazing mom, and she knew how to rally all that support around her. And so I don't know that she needed too much help with that, but I would want to make sure that my friend was getting the right type of support. But again, I would love to have some way to learn more from the LGBTQ community and really hear people say, like, I came out to someone and they said this to me and it was really helpful, or they said that to me and it was really unhelpful. Unfortunately, I feel like, you know, when somebody comes to me and says their child's come out to them, or they think their child might be gay, the child hasn't come out yet, I really question whether remaining in an Orthodox educational environment is the best decision for that child. I think until the Orthodox community moves further along in terms of accepting and even embracing people who are LGBTQ, I just worry about the psychological impact of being in an environment where, even in the best case scenario, you may not be able to avoid the kinds of comments and situations that could deeply wound a child. And so I think one of the things that I've talked about when this has come up, or people have come to me and said, a friend of mine's child has come out, and I always question whether that child should remain in an Orthodox school. I just think I would love to say, keep the child there, and this could be a growth experience for the school, but you know, you don't want anyone's child being a guinea pig for something like that. You know, you want the child to be in the environment that's emotionally safe. You know, we have wonderful pluralistic schools in this area, so it is an option for people to move to an environment that will be welcoming.
Maybe a dream for the future is to actually change how hospitable Orthodox schools can be. And I think that that's where you're on the cutting edge of making potential changes in at least your school and maybe beyond that.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a catch-22, because oftentimes the best decision for the child at the moment is to take them out of the Orthodox school. But if Orthodox schools never have students enrolled who are openly out, then it becomes like this theoretical thing to address as opposed to actually having to address it in real time. So I share that dream. I mean, I would love to see Orthodox schools get to a place where parents and children could feel like it was an emotionally safe place to be. If that's where the child's friends are and that's where they're most comfortable socially, that the child could stay in that environment and feel emotionally safe. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem to be the case yet, but I think that that is a great place to hope for.
Right. Like in other situations, like you might have an adult who's come out and is part of an Orthodox community, and that adult might say, you know, I'm just going to stay going to this shul because this is where I feel most comfortable. And that shul might change over time. But in a school in such an important phase of life and formative years, it could have such a negative impact on a child to stay in that environment.
Right. And the child is just developmentally in a place where the adults run the show, you know. And so I feel like an adult who's come out can say, okay, I'm making the choice to stay in my Orthodox school. And if at any point I change my mind, I can make the choice not to be here.
Right.
But a child doesn't have that sense of autonomy. And I think that it can just be a devastating experience. They have not yet built up the resilience or the sense of self to be able to be in an environment where their identity is questioned. Whereas an adult might have a certain amount of resilience and self-esteem and self-empowerment to say, okay, I'm making this choice. I'm going to try to stay in this community, but I always know if I can, I can go elsewhere.
Yes. So you're really highlighting that so astutely described catch-22, where how do we change these institutions without having anybody inside them to change them?
Right.
And the other piece that I think about is, it's not only detrimental for that gay child to be hearing those things, but isn't it also detrimental for straight kids to hear those things?
I agree. I think that normalizing the use of certain words around kids who are straight is not okay. And we don't want children to be desensitized to anything, right? Like we don't want them using disparaging racist words. We don't want them using disparaging words against people with disabilities. We don't want them using disparaging words against anybody. And I agree. I think that when straight kids don't know people in their inner circles who have come out, or don't have to deal on a daily basis with being sensitive to someone who's different from them, it's not a good thing. And I do think about the fact, like, just the way inclusion benefits everybody, right? It doesn't just benefit the child with a disability, but it really benefits everybody because you create a culture of sensitivity and awareness and acceptance that has ripple effects for everybody. I think the same way about this, you know, if kids are around people who have different sexual identities from their own, they can learn to be less judgmental and more inclusive and more open to understanding the perspective of another person who experiences life differently than they do. And I think the more we can help our children to understand that there's so many people in the world who experience life differently than they do, the better off they will be in their lives.
Well, thank you so much for talking.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. This was great.
Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for more Ally stories at On Alliance. Also, we're excited to share that Eshel offers training workshops for educators in Orthodox settings. Please contact allies@eshelonline.org to inquire about Eshel educator trainings. Also, join the Eshel Online community at eshelonline.org and share On Alliance with your friends. You can find On Alliance in the For Allies section on the Programs tab. See you next time on Alliance. Mm-hmm.